Okay. How are you guys today? Good. I'm going to have to sit down today. I am feeling under the weather. So I'm actually having some trouble breathing. So I'm going to have to sit. But it's good seeing you guys. I wanted to start out just by kind of getting an idea from you guys as I catch my breath here. What are you asking for Christmas? Huh? Oh, yeah? Wow. That's it? That doesn't seem very... Okay. Maybe I... What about you, Jesse? I want one of those XM satellite radios. But I think I'm getting some tickets to a Bobcats game. So, Charlotte, NBA basketball. No. Not the high school team. But what about you, Amy?
Money.
Cool. A new razor. Do you use electric or do you just... Okay. Cool. Well, that's good to hear. But I'm not really feeling it yet. I don't know about you guys. I'm not in that Christmas spirit yet. I'm kind of hoping to be soon because it's coming. But I'm just not feeling it there. How are you guys feeling in the spirit of things?
I'll be in the spirit
after exams. After exams? Cool. Well, yeah, you know, another sad thing happened to me yesterday. Just tell you guys a little story. The first thing that me and Lisa bought before we were married was kind of a big event in our relationship. It died on us. So it was this little grilled cheese maker. And I went to grill some cheese sandwiches, and it didn't work. So I have to throw it out now, but it's kind of a sad moment because I realize, well, we've been married a little while now, and stuff's starting to die that we originally bought. So we're going to do a formal barrier. I'm going to chuck it in the garbage, but before we do, we're going to take a picture. So it's kind of a sad moment in the hearts of Colm. But I got to thinking about Christmas, and I just want to give you guys a little scenario. What if you walked down on Christmas Day? I don't know how your home is back home with your family set up and all that. But what if you walked down, maybe you come down steps or whatever, and there were no gifts under the tree? How would you feel? I just want you to think about that. Sad? A real bummer? Yeah, those are good answers. You know, I thought about it for me, there would be a sense of shock, you know, like, what's going on? Something just seems all wrong with the world. And even if you don't come from the most functional family, which I don't, and I actually endured Christmas like that once, even in that situation, you still feel that sense that something's just definitely not right with this picture. You know, I got to thinking about our relationship with God and how a lot of people I meet with, and even just including myself, we've kind of grown accustomed to that with God, where we have this relationship with Him, and there's almost this expectation that not much is going on. There's no gifts. We don't really feel blessed as a people of God. And I don't know why that is. You know, I just get that sense sometimes that we've almost grown accustomed to that. And I don't think that's what God wants. He says in His word in Matthew 7 that if you sinful people, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to His? And God is, you know, Christ is communicating to His disciples there about prayer, actually, and inspiring them to pray based on the reality that God's heart is to bless his people. And he says, if you have some sort of sense with your own kids, how much you want to give them gifts and love them, shouldn't you all the more have more of an expectation of what the Heavenly Father, our perfect Father, wants to do in our life? And I just want to talk about that today. If that's kind of where maybe your spiritual journey somehow has drifted you to that plateau of feeling like, yeah, kind of like not much is going on, I don't think that's what God wants. And, you know, we're about to kind of take off, do the exam thing, and go home and celebrate Christmas. And, you know, what Christmas is it's a celebration of the birth of Christ. And that was God's most extravagant gift to us. His most extravagant. And what he wanted to share with us by the arrival of Christ was just a total understanding and proof and demonstration of his heart to bless. Jesus is God's extravagant gift to us. And, you know, I thought about what that means for me recently. And, you know, maybe this can help you. But even if you or I tomorrow were diagnosed with cancer, and we were told we were going to die, and God somehow miraculously healed us from that, that still would shy in comparison to what God has done through giving us Jesus. And that's what God says in his word. He says, my heart is to bless. And I don't think he wants us in the state where we don't encounter that with him. You know, he says in Ephesians that now, because we belong to God through Christ, it says that the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And Paul writes in Romans that he, talking about the Father to us, he has delivered him up for us all. He has delivered Jesus up for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? And you know, the way that you can think about it is I became a dad not too long ago. And maybe there's some way that you've messed up, you've sinned, or there's something that you've done that you knew wasn't right. I could not imagine making my son pay for your mistake. But that's what God did through Christ. It's an incomprehensible love to our life. And it was a way God was trying to communicate. And with his rival, he was definitely trying to communicate his heart for us. And I want you guys to hear that through this Christmas. And that's what we're going to look at today, Christ's birth. And we're going to look at what God was doing. And we're going to look at some of the people that were involved surrounding his birth. And the reason I want to look at that is I think that their life was living the stream of being blessed. And I want to look at what was it about their life that put them there. Because, see, we're a participant in our relationship with God. It's not just this thing that we passively sit back and watch God do. He invites us to participate. And there was something about their life that enabled them to really encounter God in a cool way. And you could say that their life was blessed, and they fully knew God's heart to bless their life. What was it about their life? Let's kind of look at that. You know, I want to first look at the wise men. You guys, you guys know the story, right? How many church plays have you been to in your life? You know, we've got that kind of, that whole scene in our mind. Maybe it's out in front of a neighbor's house. I'm not a big fan of the whole manger scene in front. But I had a neighbor that did it, and it looked cool, but I couldn't do it. But maybe, you know, I want you guys to kind of put that stuff aside while we're talking today. And I hope that you can see something new through this story that you never saw before. And I want to first zone in on these wise men. And so I get the feeling that you guys kind of know the story, right? These guys from a foreign land, the wise men, they came where Christ was born to celebrate his birth. And they came bearing gifts. And just a little quiz, do you remember the gifts that they gave? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Has nothing to do with what I'm sharing, but just thought I'd test you. And so they traveled thousands of miles. They were actually foreigners. They weren't even, you wouldn't even label them God's people. They weren't Jewish. They were intellectuals. They were likely royalty from a land far east. And they were actually, when I say they were intellectuals, they were scholars. And they even dabbled in astrology. And somehow, some way, they either had a copy of the Old Testament or they knew the Old Testament enough to know predictions about Christ's coming. And one of the such predictions was that a star would arrive in the night sky and to mark the arrival of Christ. And so these wise men, they were called magi, they would search the night sky for the star that God would reveal the coming of Christ. And in their searching, one night they saw the star. And they saw it in such a way that it marked, they knew it was God's way of communicating to them Christ's arrival. And being avid astrologers, they searched. They were looking for God in the sky. And they found them, and God used the star to guide them right to the baby Jesus. And what I want you to hear is that God did a cataclysmic event in their life that night. And in that time period of their life. And what he did is God revealed himself to them through their seeking. And I want to ask you guys, are you seeking God? Are you searching? Are you longing? Are you looking? I think sometimes we reach this place where we quit asking God for anything. We quit desiring anything. We quit longing for God to do anything. And just the idea that God would reveal himself through the sky, I mean, that's for crazy people, right? That's not for us. And sometimes I think we almost become practical atheists. And there was so many tremendous things surrounding when Christ came. Christ revealing himself through the sky. Angels coming and revealing themselves to people. Miracles. And I think God wants us to step out of the box and believe that that stuff can happen in our life too. And you know, if we're going to live in the stream of his blessings, that's kind of our participating role, right? And I just want to ask you, have you stopped wanting anything from God? I don't think I want you there. The story of Christ's birth should clue us in on how God has a heart to bless. A friend of mine was sharing the gospel with a girl. And at the end, he just asked her, he said, are you at a place where you want to give your life to Christ? And she said, you know, I just don't know that I can put my faith in this. I don't know that it's believable enough for me to do that. I'd like it to be, but I don't know that it is. And so he just kind of challenged her. He said, for the next month, I just want you to pray every day a simple prayer. And he just gave it to her, and he said, he asked her to just pray, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And so she started doing this. every day. And he checked back in with her over time. And she said about the end of week two, it just kind of struck her that the prayer changed. And it changed without her knowing. And she realized at some point, and she couldn't even tell you when, the prayer changed from God, if you're real, to God, reveal yourself to me. And she said it just amazed her. And for her, that was God moving in her life to show her that he wanted something personal with her. And she gave her life over to Jesus. And God uses our seeking to move in our life. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I would almost just invite you to pray the same prayer and see what God does. And for those of you that are here and you do believe, I would just really invite you to not keep God at bay in your life. And I want to challenge you to look at some areas of your life where God wants to move. How's your prayer life? And this isn't another thing that a pastor guy sits up and tells you to go home and be more disciplined with. I'm asking it because I think God wants to use it to do great things in your life. And it's just a simple thing. What are you asking of God? You know, last year I realized I'm not a real steady prayer guy. I probably never will be. But it concerned me because I thought, you know, God, I'm not really anticipating you to do much. And so one of the things I just really wanted to do was to see another person come to Christ. And I wanted to get to a point to where I would see them come to Christ and they would reach out to somebody else. And it just occurred to me back in the fall that God had answered that prayer. And he answered it doubly because it happened twice. And so I was real excited by that. And it just was a fresh awareness that God loves to answer our prayers. And, you know, I even challenge you to dream for God. Is there anything that you're believing God for in and through your life? Look at these things. Look at are you clinging to God's word for him to do in his word with you what he promises to do? And I want to kind of move on here. And I think sometimes, you know, when we live in the stream of God's blessings, we don't realize that God is blessing us when he is. We're in the middle of something that just seems kind of tough, and we can't really recognize it as something cool God's doing in our life. Have you guys ever been there? Well, I want to show you a movie clip of, I'll cue you in a second. But this is a great picture of how God plopped God plopped something else in a guy's life who he didn't realize was good at the time. And it's The Family Man. Have you guys ever seen that movie? But I love this movie because it's this guy, and he has a set plan for his life, how it's all going to work out, but he's in love too. And one day they get to a point where he realizes if he kind of has to change his, if he sticks to his plan, that possibly his love life will diminish with this girl who he's fallen in love with. And so she challenges him to ditch the plan and have a life with her together. Because it's so uncertain, he kind of walks away and sticks to his plan, and eventually their relationship diminishes. But he goes off and he becomes a successful, rich guy. And an angel eventually visits him in his life. And he has the audacity to tell the angel that there's nothing in life he needs. He's totally satisfied. And the angel then plops him in the life that he would have had he stayed with his love. And so he wakes up one day, and he's no longer in his rich guy bachelor pad world. And he's married, and he has two kids. And it's some really funny scenes of him grappling with this life, because you'll get the picture here in a minute. I don't think he really feels like he's blessed by what's happening. So let's take a look at this scene. Yeah.
Okay, we're almost out of here.
Mary Jane's mom, you promised.
That's right, I did promise. Okay, all right, we're gonna stop at the kids' shoe department first, and then I gotta pick up my watch from the battery store, and then I'm gonna go to the linen store.
Why don't we go to all the stores? Every single store in this godforsaken shopping mall. Wouldn't that be exciting?
You know what? Why don't I take the kids, and you just stay here and hang out in the men's department. Come on.
It's perfect for your frame. Why don't you try it on?
Might want to take an inch out of the back.
Okay.
Lengthen the sleeve.
You look amazing in that suit. I mean, really, wow. Off the charts, great.
It's an unbelievable thing. Wearing this suit actually makes me feel like a better person. I'm gonna buy it.
It's $2,400. Are you out of your mind? Come on, let's go.
She got those shoes.
Those shoes were $25. Come on, take it off, all right? We'll go to the food court and get one of those funnel cakes you like. Your daddy's a crazy guy.
No. Do you have any idea what my life is like?
Excuse me?
I wake up in the morning covered in dog saliva. I drop the kids off, spend 8 hours selling tires retail. Retail, Kate. I pick the kids up, walk the dog, which, by the way, carries the added bonus of carting away her monstrous crap. I play with the kids, take out the garbage, get 6 hours of sleep, if I'm lucky, and then everything starts all over again. So what's in it for me? Where are my Mary Janes?
You know, it's sad to hear that your life is such a disappointment to you.
I can't believe it isn't a disappointment to you. Jesus, Kate, I could have been 1,000 times the man I became. I could have been one of the richest Forbes. How could you do this to me? How could you let me give up on my dreams like this? Really, I want to know.
Who are you?
All right, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was such a saint before, and I'm such a prick now. But maybe I'm just not the same guy that I was when we got married.
You know what? Maybe you're not. Because the Jack Campbell I married would not need a $2,400 suit to feel better about his life. But I'm telling you, if that's what it's going to take, then buy it. Jesus. We'll take the money out of the kids' college fund.
Forget it. We'll get a funnel cake. It'll be the highlight of my week.
I love that scene. He's having a meltdown, isn't he? I don't think he considered his life blessed at the moment by what happened there. I've had a meltdown in the mall, too. That's where I have my meltdowns, when I'm there too long. But my wife has nothing to do with that. I just want to look at Mary and Joseph's life, because their story was a lot like this. You know, the plan, they had kind of a plan for their life. But like this guy, God came into their life and kind of redirected those plans. And I don't think that they would have necessarily felt at the time that this the event started taking place, that they were blessed by God. So what was God doing? Well, God comes into their life, and Mary's in particular, and announces he is going to make her pregnant. She's engaged to be married to Joseph. They're not even married yet, and here God is. She's going to be pregnant before they're married. And you know, if you're a guy here, just the thought of marrying a girl who you had your heart set on, and suddenly she becomes pregnant, and you know it's not through you, the idea of going ahead with the marriage is a little difficult to consider. But that's what God was asking them to do. And in Mary's life, this definitely was outside of her plans, because she would have faced being an outcast. Not only would she be considered unmarriable, in her day and age, she could have faced stoning and persecution because people would have accused her of committing adultery. And you know, I'm sure they had dreams of settling down in the hometown and kind of kicking off the family carpentry business, but God kind of came into their life and changed that as well. And he asked them right after Christ was born to flee to Egypt, to a foreign land, so that Herod, I'm sure you guys know this part of the story, so that he would be safe from Herod, because Herod was trying to find and kill Jesus. And so they essentially became refugees for God in a foreign land. And I just don't think this is exactly what they had in mind. It was Meltdown City. But that's really what made their lives so great, is they were willing to lay aside their plans and be available to God. And I think because of this, they were living in the stream of God's blessings. And the Proverbs say that man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. And they were available to God. And sometimes I think for us, we really do miss out on what God wants to do in our life, because we just simply don't have a heart to make ourselves available. And here Mary and Joseph were willing to lay aside their predetermined plans for how their life should have been, for what God wanted. And this is just a verse that, honestly, it blows me away. Luke 1:38, Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever he wants." I don't know how we get to that point. I really struggle to believe that I could be at that point. But I think that's where God wants us, a heart and a willingness to lay aside and make way for his plans. Do you hold on to the... I know we all have plans, you know, for how our life's going to end up, right? Do you guys hold on to those with a real tight grip, or do you hold on to them a little loosely? I think that what God shows us through Mary and Joseph's life is he wants us to hold on to them looser than we do. And this is something I honestly really struggle with. And over the last year, I can see that in my life, there are things I believe God's really broken my heart about that I've missed out on that he wanted to do because I was unwilling to lay aside my plans. And, you know, I'm just a planner. That's sometimes what I do a lot of. But God's really been showing me that there are times he asked me to lay aside things in my life to make way for him. And where am I at on time here? It's 12. But I just tell you a story. I kind of had set out a way that me and my wife were going to buy a house. And you know, buying a house is a really big, really big deal. And I had this, you know, predetermined plan of how it was going to work out. And, you know, I had my I's dotted and my T's crossed. And it was my plan. Then God brought this new thing into our life. It was a house that kind of didn't work into the arrangement I thought it was going to work out in. But it really ended up being probably better than what my plan could have produced. But it was really cool. It was a house actually on a cul-de-sac right above campus. And when you have kids, the idea of living on a cul-de-sac is just great. But it had a pool. It was kind of the house that we thought we'd always like to live in. It was a Cape Cod. And I think the really cool thing about it is it overlooked campus, which is kind of why we're here. You know, we wanted a house, too, that God could use for ministry purposes. And what a better house than the one with a pool. And I called about it, and it was just, you know, the people were selling it very cheap. And looking back, I realized I made a big mistake, and I'm still kicking myself for it. But it was people, too, that had to get out from under it. They had to take a job up in New York, had already kind of moved up there, and were just looking to sell it. And I'm pretty sure it was below what they could have got for it, but they needed to sell it fast. And because it didn't kind of fit into the way I had it all envisioned, I passed it up. And ever since then, and over time, God's been revealing to me just what was going on in my heart there. And for me, I think a lot of times I make plans, and the motive is safety. Like, that's the motive that I do it in. You know, I make something that'll work, and it'll be safe. But with this house, God was kind of asking me to step out, at least in my story, a little bit in an unsafe area, because it would involve doing things a little differently, just a little more cost than we had originally envisioned, but it was still very workable and doable. But I passed it aside because it wasn't as safe. And God's really been dealing with me on that. You know, I have been speaking some this semester, and I went back to my seat after one talk I did recently, and I really felt like God wanted me to share the gospel because there were some people here who I was pretty sure had never understood what Jesus meant to their life. And I didn't because it didn't fit into my plan. And the lesson for my life really over the last year or so has been trying to learn and go with God's leading in His Spirit and a willingness to depend on His power to get me through the things He's leading me to do. And I think that's something I deal with why I stick to such my plans with such a tight grip, because it's safer than a lot of times the way God wants to move in my life. And maybe that's you, too. But, you know, the cool thing is I don't think we have to wallow in our failings and missed opportunities with God. I do believe God redeems those. And I've been praying recently that God would just redeem the house that I passed up with one that might be equal. And so we'll see what He does. You can pray for us about that. But I just want to ask you guys, you know, that you're coming up on Christmas break, and it's kind of a good time, I think, to reassess your life, you know? And I want to encourage you to take maybe a time with God over the Christmas break, and just maybe, like, express to Him your heart to, you know, I don't think God, you know, wants us to be clueless and have no direction and set no plans. But I think He wants us to have a heart that we will be willing to U-turn those for His sake and for the things He might want us to do that are different. And I just invite you maybe to have a time with God where you talk to Him about your plans for your life and where you express to Him your heart, maybe like Mary's, to accept whatever plan He might have, to just make yourself available to Him. And I want to kind of move on to how, you know, I think living in the stream of God's blessings, sometimes it's just tough. It's tough. You know, I don't know why sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers in the time frame we want Him to. I don't know why God sometimes brings really difficult circumstances in our life with sometimes no end in sight. I don't know why that is. And I want to kind of show you guys another movie clip, and this is a good one too. But it's another meltdown. But it's the story of a guy who was trying to change the conscience of the sports industry a little bit. He was a sports agent, Jerry Maguire. So, but his dream of changing the sports industry was really tough because he kind of got to that point where he was experiencing the death of a dream. And he was hanging on by a very thin thread. And I just think it's such a picture of what God does with us sometimes. He you know, we want to expect things from him. We pray, we dream dreams, but he gets us to these places where we just want to give up that he's ever going to do it. And he just sometimes has that way of working where he invite where we're hanging on by a very thin thread. Do you guys know what that's like with God? Do you know what it's like? But I just want to show you this clip. We'll check this out.
Deal. We
Marquis?
Here's what I'm saying, okay? This is a renegotiation. We want more from them, so let's give them more. Let's show them your pure joy of the game. Let's bury the attitude a little bit and show them...
Wait. You're telling me to dance.
No. I'm saying to get back to the guy who first started playing this game. Remember? Way back when you were a kid, it wasn't just about the money, was it? Was it? Was it?
Do your job. Don't you tell me to dance.
Fine.
Hey!
Fine!
I am an athlete. I am not an entertainer.
Fine!
These are the ABCs of me, baby. I do not dance, and I do not start preseason without a contract.
Fine!
Jerry, talk to me. Breathe, Jerry.
I am out here for you. You don't know what it's like to be me out here for you. It is an up at dawn, pride swallowing siege that I will never fully tell you about, okay? Just, God, help me. Help me, Rod. Help me. Help you. Help me. Help you. Help me. Help you.
I'm sorry. You are hanging on by a very thin thread. And I dig that about you. No contract? I help me. I help you. Help everybody. That's my man.
Hey.
All right. It's just that meltdown of hanging on by a very thin thread, right? God gets us to that point a lot. And you know what the story of Christ's arrival is, I think, is God gives us a way to cope with that through his word, through the scriptures. And he doesn't promise a life apart from that, but he asks us to cling to him through his word, to cling to his promise, and that's what Christ was. And if you'll remember, Chris came and shared not too long ago about the silence of God and how before Christ came, a breakthrough hadn't really happened in God's people's lives in about 400 years. And there was almost this understanding at the time that the experience of a death of a dream, but the people that were surrounding Christ's birth were not dead yet. The dream wasn't dead. They were clinging to God's promise that Christ would come through his word. And I think God wants to do that in our life through the scriptures. And I just really encourage you to look at God's word, not from a standpoint of growing in the knowledge of it, but of depending on it. Do you guys ever own God's promises for your life? Do you ever do that? And I just, over the past year, have found this really great. You know, there have been many, I think sometimes I experience sorrow, and a great promise in Jeremiah is that God promises to turn our sorrow into joy. He promises to do that. And I've seen him do that in my life and in other people's lives. And he promises that when we seek him, we will find him. in your time that you spend with God, is that what you're going out and expecting? Cling to his promises. You know, if you're here today and you've accepted Christ, do you realize you're already standing on a promise of God? That through your acceptance of Christ in your life, you're going to have eternal life. You know that hasn't happened yet, right? Heaven's not here yet. But it's a faith and something you're clinging onto with God. And God even promises that he'll answer our prayers. And I know that might have been a message that you heard before, but I think if we really want to say that we want to experience the kind of life with God that we want, we've got to start doing that. So I just want to encourage you guys today through that. Christ's arrival, really, and the events surrounding it and what he was doing in people's lives was really putting themselves in a place to experience his blessings in their life. And for those of you that might be here and you don't know Christ, and or maybe you're just kind of struggling to wonder if, is God's love real for me? I just want to remind you that God said he demonstrated his great love for you through Christ. It says in Romans that while we were yet sinners, God gave us... I'm sorry, I'm screwing this up. God demonstrated his great love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's demonstration enough of God's extravagant love for you and for me. And so, in other areas of your life, as you're going on even from today, and you're wondering if God loves you, you have to remember Jesus. That God gave you a clear demonstration of his love extravagantly to your life. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you for today, Lord. I just ask God that, you know, you kind of remind us this Christmas of what you want to do in and through our lives, Lord. You know, Lord, we want to thank you and just praise you for Christ, Lord. You really bridged the gap between our life and yours through giving us Jesus, Lord. And I just can't imagine, God, to love another person enough to have Ethan, God, pay for their mistakes. And Lord, that's what you did. And God, I just thank you for that. And we want to just glorify and worship you for that, Lord. And God, I just ask that we could get a sense, Lord, of your great love for us. And I pray that you do that in all of our lives here, Lord. And I don't know how you're going to do that. Maybe you'll use the words that I spoke today. Maybe you won't. But I pray that you do that, God. In your son's name, amen.
All right, we're going to pass around the offering plates in a minute. If it's your first time here, don't feel like you need to put anything in there. This service is our gift to you, and we would like to know more about you to get your welcome card if you can fill that out. And we'll pass those around in a minute.